Father to join. Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned. That's how I come alive.
That's how I change my world. As the custom is, one read our anchor scriptures, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 12. There is no way we're going to talk about the horn of wickedness without reading Ephesians chapter 6, 10 to 12. Finally, brethren, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. But against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, our second reading. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Hallelujah. Last reading, Psalm 75, verse 10. We're going to read together. All the horns, let's read. All the horns of the wicked I will also cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. Let's take it again. All the horns of the wicked. Is there any horn of wickedness operating in the auditorium now? Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, let it come down. We thank God for the journey so far on the matter of the anointing. Today marks the 48th message on the teachings of anointing under 6 sub-series. And today marks the 11th message under the sub-series, Stewarding the Anointing. So far, we've looked into the matter of the anointing on 6 broad arms. The first is concerning the anointing. The second is another measure, another 1,000, where we talk about the levels of the anointing. Then we looked at the streams of the anointing. We are talking about some kind of unique, specific operations of the anointing in the lives of people. Then we came into what we called catch the anointing. Then we dealt with corporate anointing. And then finally, we are at what? Stewarding the anointing. Now, as I wrap up the teachings on the anointing today, I would want to end with one of the messages that should guide you in the pursuit of anointing and in your stewardship. Today's message is just to provide some kind of guide, and I want you to pay attention to me very well. Now, under the sub-series Stewarding the Anointing, the focus on the sub-series Stewarding the Anointing has been on the things that we do that affect the flow of God's power and his presence in our life. So all we have done, from quench not the Spirit to grieve not the Holy Spirit, are all focused on the life we have to live for the purity of the anointing and for the flow, the free flow of the anointing, nothing being impediment in the way of the flow of the anointing in our life. Hence, the individual person's life and walk with God was the center stage for our discussion under Stewarding Anointing. All that we have done under Stewarding Anointing is just to look at the personal life you live as a Christian, okay? How it can affect the effectiveness of God's power and the efficiency of God's power and presence in your life. So when we talk about quench not the Spirit, we are talking about things that can block the flow of God's power in your life, which is done by you personally. When we spoke about grieve not the Holy Spirit, we are talking about things that are opposite to the character of God, the Holy Spirit, that is operating in you. Are you following me? So everything about stewarding the anointing has been around you and you, your personal life. But is that all to it? No, that's not true. However, it is very important, or it is very necessary, to let you know or to teach you how to live a life of an exalted horn. As I've done that was what we did last week, okay? That is living a life where the manifest presence of God and power is very visible, is very dominant and effective.
But when I mentioned the exalted horn, or when I spoke about the matter of exalted horn, there is one critical aspect that we need to look at. Okay? And that is, we must be able, or we must know one thing. We should be a precautionary consideration whenever we desire an anointing, or when we ask God to exalt our horn like that of a unicorn. You know, many of us, when we see the operation of God's grace on the life of some people, we really desire, right? I know some of you have been desiring anointing upon the life of Archbishop Duncan Williams. Is that not so? When you see some ministers who operate in the prophetic ministry, especially one of the anointing that is highly desired, is all the prophetic anointing. When people see some individuals that God uses them to speak his mind, people then to desire the anointing from that place. Is that not so? Today, I want to tell you something that should be a precautionary guide. That is, before you begin to desire anointing, you want to catch that anointing. Or when you begin to say, oh God, exalt my horn, let my horn be like a unicorn. Let me give you some warning today. Something that will guide you so that when you start praying those prayers, you should know what you are calling for. And that is what we call the horn of wickedness that you can be exposed to. The horn of what? Wickedness. See, one truth that today's message is going to expose to you is that for every exalted horn of righteousness has it equal and opposing what? Horn of what? Wickedness. And I'm going to prove it to you. Every horn of the righteous that will be exalted, there's an equal opposing what? Horn of wickedness that is also what? Empowered. And you need to know how these things work. Hence, the believer should know that in as much as we are working on ourselves to keep the anointing pure and flow, it is important to know that there is an opposition that will come to test and challenge what is upon your head. You need to know it and how to deal with it. So anytime anointing is upon your head, one thing you should know is that there is always going to be an opposition that will come. Are we there? Hallelujah. Are you with me? Now, before we zoom into the horn of wickedness, there was one piece on the matter of exalted horn that I couldn't touch last week. And it connects to this message today. So I want us to quickly run through it. We will close soon, don't worry. We will quickly run through it. Then we would just look into the exalted horn, which I've already mentioned to you that we're going to handle it in our next series. So I'm just going to brush off today and then we move on because of the situation at hand. Now, what I want to talk about is spiritual growth pattern into an exalted horn. Last I was talking about exalted horn, which is what? Strength in what? In manifestation. Or authority in what? In action. Before that happens, there are certain patterns, pathways, which authority. Now, the truth of the matter is that power does not grow, but authority grows. And I want to show you the seven patterns by which authority grows. Now, what I want you to do is to identify the level you are, so that when we start talking about warfare, you know what to do to be able to increase from that place. Are we on the same page? So the first one is the new birth, or the seed of authority. When a believer is born again, what happens is that the seed of authority is sown in the person. It's a seed. Now, one of the things you know very well is that anything that begins from God always comes in a seed form. How many of you have listened to the message by our Father? It is all in a seed. One principle of spiritual things is that everything that comes from God will always come in a seed form. That is why whenever God wants to do something, it is very difficult for the devil to track it, because it comes in a form that is least expected of. When you become born again, the authority of God, which I explained last week, where we seated in Christ, is sown in you as a seed. So when anybody is born again, you hear that, oh, you are seated with Christ Jesus above principalities, please, it's in a seed form. And a seed remains a seed until it is processed into becoming what? A viable what? Plant. Are you on the same page? So in the book of John chapter 1 verse 12, the Bible says, as many that believe him, to them he gave them what? Power. That word power there is what? Authority. John chapter 1 verse 12. That word power there also is what? Authority. The word what? Authority. So he has given us authority to be called sons of God. And that is where the seed of authority is what sown. So the seed of authority came as a result of you being what? Son of God. Are we on the same page? Yes. And you know that in the Jewish culture, when you are born as a male child, it believes or it defines that you now have ownership or you have authority over your father's estate. And when you reach the age of 30 years, a coronation is done to admit you into that level of status, where henceforth, when anybody wants to deal with your father, if the person deals with you, it's final. You have authority over your father's what? Estate. So when the Bible said, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become, you see, the Bible said right, you see, authority, right, legal issues. So it's the same word. He gave them right to become children of God, to those who believe in what? In his name. It means that now that seed is now what? Is sown in you. Are you on the same page? So when you are born again, you have started the journey of what? Authority. Nevertheless, power, which is the anointing of God, can still come upon you. The second level we go into is this. It's what we call the foundation of authority. So from the seed level, foundation is laid. So we can talk about this as the root of what? Authority. Now when you become born again, the next thing that happens is that your mind becomes the target. The root, the strength of the authority of God is strongly built in the mind of the believer. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. When the mind, okay, when the seed, anything that is in the seed form, in the spirit, when it is conceived, the roots are gained in the heart, in the mind. Are you with me? So in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, the Bible said, be ye transformed out, do not conform to what? This world, but be transformed by the renewing of what? Your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and not perfect will of God. So what happens is that when the believer begins to align towards the word of God, begins to what? See things from God's perspective, the mind is being worked on. That seed of authority begins to gain root. What are some of the things that the person begins to do that makes it look like a root? Number one, the person begins to get clarity to what has happened to him or her. So, you see, when the person comes to church, the person begins to learn that you are this. This is what has happened to you. Sin is abolished in your spirit. Are you following me? The power of God is residing in you. You can do this and do that. So, clarity to what is happening. So see, when the person becomes born again, the person doesn't understand why something, there's some kind of urgency and zeal. There are certain things you have no understanding why it is happening to you. Is that not so? Then in the foundation of authority, you begin to gain what? Clarity. Out of that clarity, you begin to see your identity. That is why you realize that no, you are a priest. And there's an authority in what? Priesthood. That is why you begin to notice that, oh, you are a king unto the glory of what? The Father. Are you following me? It is a mind thing. So the mind becomes conscious of what has happened to what? The nature of what? Your spirit. If that has not happened, the authority that is a seed will be dormant. It will not do anything. So because of that, the person begins to shape their life towards what? What is happening to them. So identity comes in, then confidence begins. That is why you see the person who would want to attempt something for God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. When we have our spirits being renewed, the confidence to attempt things for God begins. So when somebody gets born again, the person doesn't start. When you see somebody started to attempt, oh, I want to pray, I want to do this for God, it means that something, the root of what? Authority is what? Gaining strength. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. So from the foundation of authority is where your identity, clarity, and confidence is built. These are very foundational to authority. And be renewed in the mind of what? Your spirit. In the mind of what? So the mind of your spirit means that your mind now is under the influence of what? The Holy Spirit. Are we on the same page? Then when you move the next phase that the believer gets in the journey of authority, so at this level you can see that the person begins to attempt things for God. Are you with me? He can pray for headache, try to test the things he has been told. So this is the place where faith becomes very dominant. Oh, the person has not prayed for a breakthrough before, but because of this identity, the person begins to realize. The person goes to pray about something and God does it. So you see, God begins to build confidence in the person. See, this is the place where you think that anything you ask, God will do. At this place, you think that all that you think about at this level is keep asking. You don't think of what God will ask of you. Are you there? Are you with me? Have you ever experienced that before? So at this point, you pray that this happened. Something happens, you pray about it, and then God intervenes. Then something you begin to see series of what event happen in your life when you pray. Are you not confident to pray? Your confidence to pray is because when you pray, you see results. And it's at this level, foundations of authority. Then you see that, oh, my words carry weight. Amen. So from this stage, God moves you to the next phase, which is called trustworthiness for authority. So from foundation to what? Trustworthiness of what? For authority. Now, this one comes with obedience and what? Faithfulness. Now, when confidence is gained, what God does is that now you are going to be trusted with responsibilities to see how faithful and obedient you'll be as what? A believer. Are you on the same page?
Good.
Let's read 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. Sorry. Luke chapter 6 verse 10 to 12. At this point, the horn, there is already root. So the horn begins to what? To form. Are you following me? So the seed has gained root at the foundation of what? Authority. Now, at this level, the horns begin to what? To form. Now, when we say the horns begin to form, means that you begin to gain what? Control. Are you following me? You begin to master certain areas. So begin to trust you. So you see that this is the point where an individual came to church and no time now when it's time for prayer or anything, we look for that person. It's a horn that is forming. Are you following me? When it's time to lead worship or anything, everybody knows that, oh, this is the place of the strength of the person. When it comes to this, the individual begins to show some kind of specific what? The moment you begin to notice that, what it means that your horn is being formed. The horn is taking what? It's taking shape. And for that stage, for you to qualify and cross that stage, the things that you find at that place dominant is what? Faithfulness and what? Obedience. And when he had looked around at them all, are we on the aware? Luke chapter 6 verse 10, good. He said to them, stretch out your hand, and he did so, and his hands were restored as whole as the other. Let's move on. Let's say Luke chapter 6. Sorry, it's Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in what? In much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. So it's a serious thing. What the Bible is saying is that if you cannot handle least, you have automatically justified that I can never handle out much. So even though you see, the principles of scriptures is so strong, say that whatever you do with the least is a justification for what you may do with what? The match. Now verse 11, therefore if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, which is the least. So money, the least thing God can give you as a Christian in terms of authority over is money. Many people don't know this. God's ultimate blessing for the believer is never money. It's never riches. It's never riches. It's not about material. See, material blessing is the first test. That is the smallest that God can give you. You know that a lot of Christians have not crossed this level we are right now. Obedience and faithfulness. Authority. Yes. Only few. So at this point, Mammon is used to test you, because that is the least thing God can give you. When I'm talking of Mammon, we've already spoken about it. It stands for what? Material what? Blessing. So God can bless you materially, and you may think that that is the least God can do for you. Anything you put your hand upon, boom, blessing. You start a business, financially things are working well. You are getting promotion. Like everything you are working out, you are seeing money all around you. That is the least. Who will commit to you? Who will commit to your trust the true what? Riches. The verse 12. Verse 12. And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is what? Your own. Are we on the same page?
Okay.
So, faithfulness builds capacity. God leaves only those who he cannot trust. That is all. So, if God is going to lift you, you must prove to him that he can trust you. And the first point of proof is material blessing. Love this more than me. So, whenever a believer begins to fall because of material blessing, the believer has not even seen anything yet. You have not seen anything yet. The next one is what we call expansion of authority. So, we move from the seed of what? Authority to what? The foundation of authority. Then we come to what we call the trustworthiness of what? Authority or what? Where authority is what? The horn is what? Is formed. Now we come to what? The expansion of what? Authority. Now when your horn is formed, know that it has not been made visible. It has not been exalted. Are you following what I'm trying to say? So the horn is formed, but God has not given it visibility yet. Let me give you an example in the Bible. Do you know that David was killing wild animals on the desert when nobody was there to see it? Have you read that story before? When he came to Saul, he gave account of his experience, why he thinks he's qualified to face Goliath. And he told him that when I was with my father's sheep on the desert, when a bear, a form of animal that seeks to what, tear it up, comes, I grab it by my bare hand. They said that this Goliath guy is just like one of them. I have qualification to deal with such nonsense. Allow me to go and handle it. So it means that David's horn was formed. Okay? Now when the horn is formed, it takes you to the next level, what we call it, the place of what? Expansion. So when the horn is formed, it comes out, it's now begin to what? Expand. Are we on the same page? Okay. Now, the expansion of the horn is the place where your authority multiplies as your understanding what? Increases. What happens is that knowledge increase your range like a horn that grows longer and stronger. I'm going to give you a scripture to this. Now, you see, when you pass the test of the formation of the horn, that is trust and worthiness, God can give you a territory. Okay? The expansion of you to cover that territory is no more on God, it's on you now. Your knowledge, the revelation you're able to encounter. An example. How many of you know that God gave both Peter and Paul the same grace to write? Are you following me? Apostle Peter and Apostle Paul. Now, which of them did so much? Paul. What is the one thing that Paul had that Peter didn't have? Oh, I'm asking, what one thing that Paul had that Peter didn't have? The problem of many Christians, why they have remained at what we call the local champion, is that they downplay the place of education and knowledge. Let me tell you, no matter how anointed you are, your level of knowledge will tell the range you can go. If I'm preaching in Chi here, the range by which I can go in terms of the people who will listen to this message can never be compared to somebody who preaches in English. Are you following me? That's knowledge. The same topic that I'm teaching here, it takes research, understanding. I'm not the first. See, this revelation, I'm not the first to talk about it. People have preached it. In fact, there's no new revelation. Everything I'm preaching now, somebody has preached it. And there's no new revelation. But the question is, somebody else will talk about this same area and nobody will give attention. Another person will tackle this area and people want to listen to what is it? It's not only the anointing, knowledge. The knowledge the person has acquired in how to handle this kind of stuff. So many believers will pass the test of faithfulness, but will remain where they are because they have not been able to come to understand that the divine power expands through knowledge. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. Let's read that scripture. The reason why I have hatred for any Christian who undermine education. I hate you. You are an offense to the gospel. You don't want the gospel to go forward. And if you are here, you have the opportunity to expand or build capacity academically. Go. Because in as much as your authority, you see, you pass. I tell you, your level of knowledge will determine how far you go. You don't go anywhere. When your knowledge is low, you don't go anywhere. It's not only in the knowledge, I mean experiential knowledge, that encounter with God. You can have those encounters with God, but you can be limited. As his divine power, listen to what, has given to us what? All things, do you hear? That pertain to life and what? Godliness. Look at the next, he said what? True. That word is a dangerous word there. True. It means that divine power and all things pertaining to life and godliness can only be realistic when you wire it through. There's a router to make it possible. It's called knowledge. So although divine power, the power of God, divine power, authority, everything is with the believer, knowledge would be a reason why the believer will slack certain things in life. Are you on the same page? So, some of you, your level you are right now is not that you have not been faithful with what? Mammon. I know some of you are able to pay tithe faithfully. Whatever God gives you financially, you have been able to stay to the book. You are a generous person. God can be able to touch your heart and cause you to release. But it seems there is no progress. The question is, what knowledge have you added to that divine power? Knowledge in the word of God. Knowledge, especially the knowledge in the field of operation. I've met many believers who are confused about what they are doing. They don't even know what they are doing. Now, how can you tell me that you are done with university? You want to go and read masters and you don't know why you want to do that masters? So, you see, everybody's going to do masters. Pam! Me too, I'm going to do some. Then, he or she will go into the masters, come out, and then he doesn't even know how to use the masters for. You could see such a person has not made research about he himself or herself and know where God is leading. You can give me all opportunity to study today. If it has nothing to do with project management or financial or finance, forget it. I'll not mind you. I'm not interested. Because when it comes to me, academia, what I know, where my strength is, and what I can do is in project management or finance. Any other thing that interests me, I'll not do it. So if I will pursue my academic life, it has to go through this path because of the where I know God is taking me to. Somebody is done with school, and some of you by this time you should be reading your masters. Pastor, you don't like what Pastor is saying, right? The thing is, our horn cannot be exalted when there's no knowledge in dealing with the horn. You see, when you have strength and you don't have knowledge, do you know that it will take you a lot to accomplish something that it needed little to do? That's the problem with you. You waste a lot to accomplish few. Recently, when my mom came to us, she was hungry. My wife was, I think, either she went out or something like that. So she wanted to, there's a food, she wanted to heat the food and eat. Then she said she doesn't know how to operate the gas. So she decided to go for charcoal. Not knowing the charcoal was exposed to water, so it was a little wet. And she was really struggling to light it up. Then she came to call me and said, okay, where is the food? She showed me, and then I dish it and then put it in the microwave. Went back to do what I was doing. Came back 4 minutes later. Took it from the bowl, the microwave, brought it to her very hot as she wanted it. I said, ah, what time did you heat the food? I said, I just finished. How? I said, this one. I said, ah, is that what you use it for? I said, yes, ma'am. That is what we use this for. I said, hey, you this generation, you kill us. You see the difference between us and those in those generations? If we were in the 90s and 80s and you were hungry, we have to wait for the firewood. Especially when it has rained like this. You are dead. But today, who cares when it is raining? Because we are not using those things. Knowledge has made it easy that things that will take us a lot of time now. Those days, when there was no AI, chat GPT and all this stuff, when we are studying the Bible, we want concordance and all those things. The number of pages and things we do. Now, when I'm studying and I just want, I just go to German, chat GPT or Germany, I'm done. I'll be done soon. I just key in what I want. And do I find an AI, which is for Bible studies. There's not, the moment you key it in, it will give you Greek, Hebrew, everything, history, everything is there for you. You see the difference? So when I check my book, and the thing is, I know how to use the chat GPT because I want to study how to use it. Some of you don't even understand basics of AI. See, if you are here and you don't know what AI is and fundamental, you are not part of the world anymore. This world is not your home. You are just passing through. You are not serious with your life. I'm serious. Take me serious. No matter what field you are, now AI is everywhere. Today when you go back home, see, some of you, the horn that God wants to exalt, if you don't learn some of these things, you'll be in trouble. Go back, YouTube, just go there. Just key in fundamentals of AI. Just go and learn the foundations of AI. Basics. Learn what AI is. And then begin to do research on your field. Learn it. Because they're not teaching it in schools. That's one of the things that breaks my heart. So, the app is here. I'll not tell you. It's on my phone. Yes, it's here. I'll not tell you. Good app for Bible studies. AI. Easy research. History. Everything is inside. I got it. As an app, I downloaded it. And I've been using it. People are writing theses, writing books, working on a whole lot of things just with the help of AI. But you see, you can be anointed, but somebody will take over your business over because the person has gained knowledge that you don't have. Let's move on. So you see that the divine power has worked through knowledge. And the knowledge is not only about revelational knowledge. Even though this one is talking about gnosis and everything. But I decided to generalize so that you know that anywhere you lack knowledge, you struggle. Okay, the fifth one, we call it the weight of authority. So when your authority expands, the next thing that the authority grows to count is the weight of authority. Spiritual maturity and character is the key thing here. The difference in operation of two people in terms of what God can do with them at some point is maturity and character. You see, there's another level of authority God can give to Archbishop. He will never give to me, no matter what I do. Do you know why? Maturity. He has had years of experience and work with God I have not gotten yet. If God gives me that authority, I'll kill people right now. It could have been like I've killed somebody. I would have killed a lot. So that one, you have to understand. So some of us, we understand that there are certain dimensions and levels that some people are operating. We will never get there. No matter the revelation God has given us. because that one comes by maturity and character.
It's a rule.
I don't forget my point. Hello? Are you on the same page? So that one, you have to work on your character. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 13. So maturity gives you weight to your words, action, and presence.
When you begin to grow in the Lord, what you find is that whenever you speak, it carries weight. It's seasoned.
Your presence carries weight. Your actions, they carry weight. As a result of what? Maturity.
Are we on the same page?
Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of what? The knowledge of the Son of God. You see, knowledge is important. But after knowledge, what? To what? A perfect man, to what? The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
So you see that from the seed level of authority to the root level to the forming of the horn, then you see the knowledge is here. I've seen the knowledge of his faith here. After knowledge, what knowledge must, the next thing that will move you to your next level of authority is character and maturity.
You must grow. You must mature in the things of God.
I know you've all heard the story that has happened to the man of God, Hebron prayer camp.
If it happens to any of us here, I tell you, you can't worship God again.
It will take a lot of grace to help you. Two grown sons. The thing is that you have nurtured them to come to the prime where they will be a blessing to you. Then the two of them are gone. Two sons. Two men.
But you see the way and manner he's carrying himself. When such a person opened his mouth and said, this will happen. Do you know why it will happen? The weight he's carrying is not the small weight. That is experience plus character talking. The things he has suffered, you have not suffered it. So when they challenged Paul about his apostleship, he said, in what? In hunger often. In strife often. So 3 times being beaten by 9 minus 1. Is it 50 minus 1? Or 40 minus 1? 39. 3 times. In perils. In robberies. That often. How many of them have you suffered? And you want to be like Paul? Some of you are here praying that I wonder that, hey, please. Wait, after you have gone through those experiences, the anointing will flow on it. Nobody will tell you. It will come. Because that is a place that not only do God trust you, you have the weight. You have the weight of the authority you are carrying.
So, this is how it happens. Some of you, God will put you on the path of commerce. Let me give you an example. As a business person, you begin to gain root, the identity, what God wants you to do, you begin to understand it. I want to show how authority grows. So let's say God has called us off as a businessman. He's called you a businessman in estate development, real estate, okay? The first thing that God will work on you is your identity in Him. So that you don't end up becoming what? Corrupted in the world. Because it's a dangerous ground you are going to. So the first place God will work on, which is an exposure to authority, is the root over there. So God will begin to build your identity to know that as a Christian, you cannot do this. Your values are worked on, your worldview are worked on, your beliefs are grounded. When God is done with that kind of place, then the next place God takes you is, you see, the confidence will now be built in Him. Okay? Then you begin to see that among all the things He does, whenever it has to do with anything about building or real estate, the doors open to Him. Remember the test, faithfulness and obedience. So God begins to bless him materially. You see that he has bought land, he wants to do this and do that. When he's doing those things, the check will still be whether he's still in his identity, in his values. Are you following me? When he passes that, now what God is going to give him or what is going to lift him is whether or not he has invested a lot to understand how that business operates. Formally or informally. So how do the world estate companies doing so well? What are the understanding that they have? Do you understand? The kind of relationship and everything that moves you to the next level that we're talking about, knowledge. Expansion of what? Authority. So maybe you may start as someone who used to buy land and then build 1 or 2 houses and then rent a chamber or 2.
Now you see that he has 40 acres of land. He's developing a whole estate. He has 1-2 acres of land. He's developing shops for rent house. Are you following? Then you see, so begin to ask, what did he discover? It's not, it's a revelation, it's an encounter. He has not gotten there fully yet. Now you see that God will be, you'll be working on these things in for some years, developing estate for some years, about 6-7 years. Then now character will be formed in him. He may have experiences sometimes how his business will go down and he will cry. Then you come to God and God will help him. Experience. Okay, don't go this way again. Go this way. Do you understand? Then God is building that thing in him. It's an authority. When he passes that level, he carries what we call the weight of authority. No country will he enter and he will not prosper in terms of real estate. This is why you see that people begin to notice his business. Oh, this is what this guy does. Oh, now if you want to build a house and then you want to get one of the good cement is a building materials in Ghana here, yeah, what names come into your mind first? I mean a retail shop, not even a production. What name comes to your mind first? Is that? You see, I mentioned a name. KJC. Okay, see your point. Why? And these people have been doing the business for years. Am I lying? So now, if any company is into production of cement, iron rods, if they are looking for a place to what, retail their product as a wholesale, do you think they'll come to you? If you send a tender, do you think they'll consider you? Why? They'll not consider you because you can't compete with somebody who has over the years built his authority in that place. He has the experience now. He has the character in that field. So the company knows that even if I give it to him, by the years of experience and the character, now everybody recognizes the authority of the person in that place. Let me supply this person. The only way that you can get a tender in that business is that they speak for you. Else nothing will come to you. Finally, divine endorsement. This is where the horn is giving visibility. Now, when character and maturity is gained, that when the weight of authority is gained, God begins to give it visible presence. Psalms chapter 75, verse 6 to 7. Now, you see that everywhere the person goes, what you struggle with, the person does it so simple. Are you on the same page? You'll be here, you'll be angry. Oh, why are they giving this person this contract? Is he the only person in Ghana who can do it? Why is he this person? It's the season of manifestation. Everybody wants to have him. It didn't happen over the time. That is authority at work in the area God has given them. For exaltation comes neither from the west nor from the east nor from what, the south, but comes from where? From the Lord. Are we on the same page now? Good. So, power and dominion, operational authority, is the seventh dimension that the believer begins to operate in. Now, this is where the scripture we quoted last week, Philippians 4:13, works. I can do all things. As far as this area is concerned, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So you see that in that area, whenever the person is there, oh, he will do all things. Psalm 110 verse 2. This is where God makes this statement to you. So your authority is now determined what you can do, command or achieve. Now, if you check very well, many believers are checked out at the place of what? Faithfulness and what? Obedience. Many of us. Psalm 110 verse 2. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength. Have you heard that scripture? The rod of what? Your strength. And we remember what strength is? Authority plus what? Power. out of what? Zion. Rule in the midst of what? Your enemies. So, you see, this is the point where you can send such a person to politics. If the person has gone through the various levels of growth and authority, it doesn't matter how corrupt that place is, the person will survive. The world is swallowing the average believer because he has not gone through processes. You don't just get up and rule in your enemies. And that is what leads me to what? The horn of what? Wickedness. The reason why God anoints every believer and exposes him is because of wickedness. And I'm going to prove it to you. If indeed your anointing will be visible, you must be in the midst of wickedness, enemies. So David said that he prepares a table before me in the presence of what? My enemies. And hold on. My castle ran over. But before the table was prepared, he anointed my head with what? With oil. You see, if you are anointed, one of the things that will make it real to you is the presence of enemies. They'll come out. If you think that everybody likes you, you wait. When your horn begins to grow and God begins to put you on that pathway of dominance, you see. If everybody likes you. Are you on the same page? So, let's move on. The horn of wickedness. So, you see, the Lord sent the rod of your strength out of what? Zion. So, now, strength is at work. You can do all things through Christ's word, who strengthens you. There's manifestation of what? The power of God upon your life. What happened next? What happens is that you are to rule in the midst of what? Your enemies. Now, ruling the midst of your enemies is possible when you understand the place of what? The horn of wickedness. Now let's define it. What is the horn of wickedness? By definition, the horn of wickedness is the wickedness that has become powerful enough to influence systems, people, and countries. The horn of wickedness is when any act of wickedness does not only remain in its place of wickedness. Are you following me? But has come out a system of what? Influence. And have control over what? Systems, territories, and what? And people. Now, one of the first things I want you to know is that not every wicked person or wickedness has a horn. There are wicked people and there is wickedness on this earth. But not all has a horn. I'm going to show you the one that has a horn. Now, we can deal with wickedness. But when a wickedness has a horn, it's a different game. Now, let's look at what wickedness is. Okay? Some of you don't know when you say somebody is wicked. You don't know, okay? You always call some people wicked. Let's see if they qualify. Number one. A wicked person is someone who, first, if you are a wicked person, one of the things you do, I'm going to mention about 7 of them or 8. Look at it. Number one. A wicked person is someone who opposes God's ways. If you oppose the way of the Lord, you are a wicked person. You can write this scripture down. You're not going to read it. Psalm 10 verse 4. Number 2. Opposes the righteous. When you see a system or an individual opposing the righteous, that is what? A wicked person. Should I explain that one? When the righteous is being opposed. Okay? Some of you, you are at a workplace that you have not done anything, but somebody has decided that as far as writing bad and false report about you, making sure that your boss is here about it, that is the person's business. Have you ever heard those stories before? That is, you think you have wronged the person, no, because you are righteous. That's what we call the persecution of the righteous. You are being persecuted for righteousness' sake. What the thing is that the things they will say about you has nothing to do with what you have done. They will come and sit with you, raise a topic about somebody, and the comment you didn't make, they will say you made that comment. And they'll come back and laugh at you. That's a wicked person. Number three, plots evil. Psalm chapter 10, verse 7. One character of a wicked person, one thing that what is an act of wickedness that will make you wicked is that you sit to plot evil. The next one, has no fear of God. If you are here, you don't fear God. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is what? Eschew what? Evil. If you are here and you don't fear God, that you can be able to do evil. You know, evil, okay, is inflicting pain on another person. That's what we call evil. Intentionally inflicting pain and damage on another person or a place is called evil. If you are here and you don't hate evil, you don't hate sin, you don't fear God, you are wicked. I'm not the one who said it. The Bible said. Romans chapter 3 verse 18. Another definition of a wicked person is a one who has a hardened heart. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 11. You are wicked. The next one is one who hurts others deliberately. Have you seen people who just take joy to see people in pain? Deliberate act to hurt people. That's wicked. The last one is the one who takes pleasure in evil. When you see evil happening, you enjoy it. You take pleasure in it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 12. Now, this is what we call wickedness. But when this wickedness I'm talking about, because the Bible said the wicked shall perish in his own what? Wickedness. What it means that when somebody devises evil or somebody is being wicked, wickedness by the law, natural law of order, the person will be destroyed by that wickedness. So you find out that somebody will be opposing somebody and then the person will fall sick and die. You need to pray against the person. Remember the story I shared about Elder AB over here, where they were opposing him because of the work he was doing for his father, and he just went to pray, and in no time those two people who stood against him were gone. That is the natural law of order, that the wicked shall perish in their own words, wickedness. So anytime somebody is acting wicked towards you, all you need to do is to allow the wickedness what, to finish them. So the Bible said in the book of Isaiah, they shall eat their own flesh and they shall not drink their own blood. That is a pure result for wickedness. So if somebody is acting wickedly, you don't need to fight the person. By the natural law of justice, according to God's law, that person's wickedness will destroy the person in no time. But when the wickedness is not destroying the person, that one goes beyond what? Wickedness. That is what? A horn of what? Wickedness. Therefore, wickedness, when it's empowered, protected, and given influence, it becomes what? A horn. Let me give you a biblical example. You remember in the book of Acts, according to the testimony of Saul, then Paul, said that he was vexed by the act of the church, and therefore he took pleasure in seeing the church being persecuted. Is that not so? He said he was a witness who held the cloth of the men who stoned Stephen. That was wickedness. But he started to gain a horn of wickedness. And do you know how he was going for the horn? When he was going for now authority to do that act of wickedness, at that point, God saw this as not just a mere wickedness, that's a horn. And God has to stop him. If God didn't stop Paul, you would have seen the weight of the horn of wickedness. So I hope you get a picture now. So even though Paul took pleasure, at that point it has not gained protection, it has not gained what, it has not been given influence, so he started working on it. Now, do you know that LGBT now is a horn of wickedness? Do you know that? Okay, let's move on. Therefore, the horn of wickedness is when wicked people begins to influence territories, control systems, spread corruption, but still grow out stronger. Typical example is the terrorist attack. Those things are horns of wickedness. Yeah. Are you following me?
Good.
I'll link it to our own life. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12. Let's go to that scripture. Now I'm going to show you how the horn of wickedness is released against the believer. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12. Now what Paul said in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 was talking about where wickedness gains its strength from and is empowered to become a horn of wickedness. They are in four levels. What was the first one you mentioned? For we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities. Now, because of time, I don't want to explain them. But last week, I spoke about what principality stands for. Do you remember? Territorial what? So, if in a territory, okay, somebody is wicked, and then that principality in that territory begins to give the person protection and influence, at that moment, that person has not just become a wicked person. Now, he's operating with the horn of what? Wickedness. Do you get a picture? Okay, do you get the picture I'm talking about? So the person is wicked, but the person was not being protected. The person was not under that kind of what? Demonic protection, influence. Good. So that is what that scripture says. I said we'll come back to this topic, so let me move on. Now, how does the horn of wickedness rise against the believer? The horn of wickedness rear its head when the flesh is failing in making you ineffective in the anointing. When you get to the stage of the weight of authority, look out for the horn of what? Wickedness. Now, when you are born again as a Christian, the devil does not really come after you when he knows that your flesh will do the job for him. Are you following me? So whilst you are in the flesh, you are battling with the things of the flesh, the devil does not come in. He just withdraws itself, knowing that the flesh is enough to silence you. That whilst the flesh is failing, the world rear its head, trying to use the pressure of the world. Are you following me? The fear that the world comes with, trying to suppress you and make sure that you become ineffective. When that one fails, the last resort is the horn of wickedness. So not everybody shall be exposed to the horn of wickedness. But I'm telling you that if you want your horn to be exalted, want to be visible, somebody who will be very impactful, then the horn of wickedness will surely come. And it will come at the point where your flesh has failed to tame you. Now, if you read the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, listen to what the Bible says here. First Corinthians chapter 16, the verse 9. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me. There are many adversaries. You see, when you begin to, when God exalts your horn, what happens is that doors said, every door that is holding or blocking your way begins to open. Because the King of Glory wants what? Is entering. Now, when those doors begin to open, at that point, the only thing left to stop you from entering is what? Adversaries, enemies. And those enemies are horns of wickedness. Do you get it now? So begin to watch out for those horns of wickedness. Have you noticed that the very moment you prayed and you had an encounter, suddenly, something started to happen that you can't even explain? I'll give you examples. Let's move on. Now, the question is, why is it seems like hell break loose when God begins to give you visibility? Why does the horn of wickedness comes after you when God begins to exalt your horn? It's simple. When God exalts your horn in a territory, He is just not giving you influence. He is giving you responsibility to confront the horns of wickedness operating there. In the book of 1 John chapter 5 verse 19, our second reading that we did, he said the world lies in the embrace of what? The wicked one. What it means is that the entire world we live in is under the operation of wickedness. Do you all know that? Do you know that? You see, some of you say that, oh, why is it that there is famine here, they are bombing people here, they are doing this here? It is an explanation to you that the world lies in the embrace of the wicked one. Now, God does not take delight in wickedness. So what God does is that He raises a person, okay, who would build capacity, and when you get there, He exalts your horn to deal with wickedness. So that is why when you are anointed in the family, all the forces and demonic powers in the family will come after you. Don't say, Erade, why me? Now who else? Now who else? Who else has been anointed? Who else has been given that kind of training? Blessing and you get it. You can't pray and say that, God, why me? Who else? Because the family has been subjected to wickedness for long. You find that in that family, barrenness is wickedness right there. When anybody wants to rise up and break out, bam, they kill the person. Poverty, everybody's under the embrace of wickedness over there. And there is that old man, some young girl, who has become the agent of enforcement. There are people that you hear that in the night, I marked my uncle's exercise book. You know those stories? Okay. There was a 5-year child that was caught. The uncle has been trying to pass one common master's for 4 years. He's not passing. Then in prayer, unfortunately for her that day, she followed the uncle for that prayer meeting. And in prayer, the Holy Ghost caught her. And a 5-year-old girl was confessing that anytime the uncle put together his thesis, she marks it. And then fails the uncle. So that's why the uncle is not. The uncle turned and looked at her and said, you mark my thesis. He didn't know that spirits are ageless. The spirit in that girl is an ancient spirit that has received the horn of wickedness operating to a human vessel. So the uncle was suffering. Then God will raise you, and then God will exalt your horn. That girl will come for your script. That is why you see some of you, it seems like your life has become warfare from day one you were born till now. It's because your horn has been exalted. So when we were praying that, Lord, make me this, anoint me, didn't know those things will come. So today, can we say, God, reverse them, then you'll be free. And then you'll be another bondage. Yeah. But if you have prayed for them and they have come, the horn of wickedness will come after you. So you see, those things will start to rise up. Empowered, coming after the believer. So you see that you every day your life is one thing after the other. Whilst you are there, an uncle you have not offended will see you and then he'll be smart at you. Have you experienced that before? An auntie, somebody you have said nothing to, who doesn't even know where you come from, will just meet you, and then by the next year they are reporting to your father and your mother. They are calling for family meeting that you've done something. Some of you, people will just take a phone and call anybody who could be of help to you and say, this girl never helped her. You've not offended the person. Do I have witnesses over here? You have not offended the person. You've said nothing to the person. The person will trace anybody who can help you and call. Say, this person never helped her. That is the horn of wickedness. And it is because you, your horn is forming. It is coming out. They see that you, if they don't stop you now, so the world lies in the embrace of wickedness. So whenever God anoints somebody and he begins to exalt the horn of the person, it's because there is wickedness you have to deal with. So there's no any anointing that has not faced wickedness. You see, you want to break through in an industry, there are wicked spirits over there. Go and ask in the Hollywood. There are certain Christians, because of their stand they took, they said do not give them certain roles. Yeah. There are horns of wickedness. But God will help us. Amen. Now, if you study the life of David, you find out that because of the anointing, he had three major confrontations. You see, anytime God anoints you and lifts you to a particular level, you see, I said there are four levels over there. That's why I said I want to stop. We have principalities, we have powers, we have darkness, then we have wicked spirit in high places. When your oppressions crosses that jurisdiction of principalities and enter into powers. Now, when we talk about powers, we are talking about systems like the commerce and all those places. There are powers that are in control of them. Do you understand? You know that if you want to break through into some... Okay. Let's say that Caesar here, the line of check in their family is that nobody gets beyond 1 million Ghana cedis. Okay? Then Caesar, by the grace of God and by the horn he has grown, the horn has extended itself that now there are opportunities to make Caesar make at least 10 million Ghana cedis. Do you know that powers who are in charge will come and find out whether he qualifies and will challenge him? That is why you hear that a company of a person, when even in a rainy season, it has caught fire, it has burned up to... Have you heard those stories before? Oh, am I preaching to a wrong church? Yes, it will happen to you. Your whole warehouse, there is no electrical fault, no fire from anywhere, nothing. You hear that it has, they couldn't even take a pin. Everything burned down to ashes. You want to make 2 million. The last person who tried it was 1877. The person even didn't sit up. You want to try. We'll teach you that there's one over here. Then you begin to break down. The reason why they came after you, because you have been lifted. So please, once you are praying for breakthrough, you have to ask yourself, what is the limit in the family? And if I try to cross, what are the things they are likely to do? Then you begin to master, prepare to face them. Because for every horn that God exalts, there is an equal wicked horn exalted to fight it. I pray for anointing on God to be ready. When we started a church in Accra, something I've not shared before, I'll say it. To the point that one of the issues got to my brother and he shouted, "Hey, Osofu." So this thing has been going on. So I heard this thing 2 years ago. I said, "Hey." He's trying to remember what I'm talking about. Certain discussions some people went to have about me. If I tell you even one of it, you will not pastor church again. You will stop. Is it me? I've seen the horn of wickedness. Oh. So me, what? I told you one, and till now we are dealing with it. The day I told God that I'll do full-time ministry was the day my wife's company, he went out. Till today, they have not come back. She has written over 100 applications. No employment. You think you pray more than I do? Do you know how many fastings and prayers I've done for her? Still, there's nobody want to look at her side to take care. But all of you, when I pray for a job, everybody gets it simple. Nobody has come to you, "Pastor, I need a job and I prayed for you." Who? Let me see my hand. It works like magic. My wife, 4 years. If I like, I should even put her in the sea of anointing. You think what is happening? It's a normal thing. The horn of wickedness rose. The first seed my wife took, they came for it. And there were prophecies and revelations that as of seed should not conceive. Why? Because of an anointing. This small one that you gave me. Lay hand on me and pray for me. Do you know the things he has attracted? The deaths have escaped. Yeah. So you think pastor is talking about something that's not realistic? Oh, you think that church growth, when you see a ministry, when you come to a place and you see a church growing there, you don't know what is keeping some of you here. It's because of the wars we have won, the scars we carry. You see, the devil has done everything to make sure that when it comes to money, you will not let me have some. I'm telling you. Anything. And it's a horn of wickedness that I'm dealing with. I know it. It will fall surely. Oh, is it? No matter how, they'll fall. Sometimes you see that somebody will work on a contract, and when it is time for the person to be paid, there'll be an issue. They'll drag your money and drag it. And make sure that they frustrate you. It's a horn of wickedness. It seems everybody, it works for them. You alone, when you go there, they've seen the authority. And that some of you, because you don't have knowledge about what God is doing with you, your life, and have refused to understand what is going on, you'll be there and you'll be crying. See, one of the things you find out that when you're dealing with horn of wickedness, don't answer to emotions. Oh, emotions doesn't solve those problems. You better be serious and go to court. And you have to, some of you, you have to go some, because of that horn, some of you, God will take your life for 5 years of your life. You see, something God said to me that I've not even told my wife yet, why she has not gotten a job and I'm not perturbed. It's because I know that God is doing something with my life. After 10 years, that horn of wickedness will break. I know. I'm not saying it will take you 10 years to get a job, please. I'm talking about something I've seen. See, some of you, it seems like you are at, see, Paul said, I fought with the beast of Macedonia. Some of you are with some beasts. They are horn of wickedness. They are in person. It's because of the anointing. So when David was anointed by Samuel, first confrontation, Goliath. David has to clear Goliath before he had his peace of mind. As if that was not enough. When he received the anointing to be the king of Judah, the house of Saul rose against him. The Bible said that the house of Saul stood in warfare with David for at least 2 years. But do you know something? The Bible said, but the house of David grew stronger. I see your horn growing stronger. You see, when we enter the season of warfare, we are at war. You understand why I'm talking about, I've started with this message. There's so much horn of wickedness. You don't know how wicked the world has become now. People don't care that years of your labor, you have labored, they'll sit on social media and finish you in 1 minute. There are many horns of wickedness. See, people will do anything sponsored by the devil. There's one guy on social media, he has been so wicked now, and still now he has even received sponsorship. You know what I'm talking about? Destroying people's life with the word allegedly. Do you know what else they are doing? Other people are doing that. Today, the social media, anybody will do anything they like. Those are horns of wickedness. So you see, the number of years of your labor you are doing right now, also with all your reputation, somebody can sit on social media in 3 seconds. He's finished with it. I think it's a joke. We have to have a horn that is strong, exalted like a unicorn, to deal with the horn of wickedness around us. As many of us will not rise. When Jesus was anointed, he was led into what? The desert. And he was confronted by the devil. We'll come back to this. Now, how to spot the horn of wickedness? Quick, one by one. Any wickedness you've seen that cannot be corrected is a horn of wickedness. If in your family, there's one particular thing that everybody has to suffer, nobody is able to change it. No, that is where you see that this one is backed by a horn of wickedness. Check. The moment you notice that there is something nobody can correct, that is a horn of wickedness. If you go to a territory, if you go into an industry, wherever you find yourself, and you spot that there is something that one, no matter what, nobody can touch it. That wickedness is having its place, inflicting pain on people, taking pleasure, damaging people. If you see that thing working in that place, that one is not mere wickedness. That one has what? Horn. That is horn of wickedness. When you see corruption happening, and nobody can confront it. You see, gallantry now is not wickedness. Gallantry now is a horn of wickedness. You don't know. We cannot only win the issue of gallantry by army and whatever. Yeah, prayer must go into that. A demon has risen and has decided that the generation coming, he would make sure that he will inflict some kind of health pain. Have you heard that in gallantry places, deformed children are being born? They are killing their future leaders. Who knows that deformed child could be the next person God is going to use greatly. How did Herod finish an entire generation? Because of one person. You think Galamsey is a joke? That's a horn of wickedness. One of the places that there's horn of wickedness in Ghana here is football. Nobody can correct them. No, you dare not talk about DFA. How can you go and collect 5-1 and still maintain the coach? And the coach himself will say that he himself is shocked. Oh, you really listen? See, I don't know. Friday, so I gave up. Look at how they are destroying many young people. See, let me tell you, not that Ghana doesn't have talent, too. If we should take three countries in the world that has talent in terms of football, Brazil, if you come to Africa, Ghana is one of it. Talent, football. If you said, I'm like, every country, world-winning country now, apart from France, has a Ghanaian playing in it. Check. In Europe, every world-winning club or country, go to Netherlands, Gakpo is there. Brobe is there. You don't know Ghanaians, Sola Malai. But you know why it's happening to us? Because there are wicked people who are sitting at the top there in the Ghana football industry who are being wicked, and their horns are being empowered. So even the young ones who have the opportunity to represent the nation, it's not only in GFA, most of the government sections. See, before you can get a government employment in Ghana, you have to break a horn of wickedness. Yeah. See, the thing I'm teaching, that's why I said next, when we start next week, you understand why I said we are at war. We must understand that where we have gotten to, and then we have to fight with every strength we have. Because the Bible said the world lies in the wicked embrace. You cannot be subjecting a country to this kind of torture. For almost 10 years, friendly match, we have won only 2. What did we sin against? A whole university football team, UDS, was able to stand and eliminated everyone to become world champion. And they played against the same class of people who are also going to be representing or playing in Europe. Not even one was considered fit enough to even sit on the bench and clean their boots. We have only one local player who is, by grace, is the goalkeeper. But we are going through this because wickedness has been exalted. It has a horn. Go to Kolebu. They say there are no bed. Every day, they said there are no beds. But these people here will tell you on all authority, the money internally generated in a hospital, only God knows where it's gone to. Every year, auditor's report, Kolebu is featured. But nobody has been not dealt with. You don't know what we have opened to. Okay. So, system that fights righteousness, second one. So, wickedness that cannot be corrected. So, when you see a place where people know that wickedness is going on there, but nothing can be done about it, that place, when you enter that, when God is pushing you there, know that you are dealing with horns of what? Wickedness. Watch out. When you enter a place, you say, I had the Abroni Beye. It's fully empowered, sponsored. You want scholarship from Ghana scholarship scheme, and you want to get it on fair grounds. You don't know that you are dealing with horns of wickedness over there. You want to get a road contract in Ghana here on fair grounds. You ask yourself for the number of prayers he has to pray for what he even deserves. So when you enter a place and you see that evil, wickedness cannot be corrected at that place, you are dealing with horns. I hope you are following what I'm going to say today. That's why God is going to anoint you. So that you can be able to confront that horn. So everybody will suffer, but you break through. And the difference is that there's horn upon your life. Hello, the world is wicked though. Number two, systems that fight righteousness. Now, we are developing systems here that wants to fight righteousness. I don't know what is the extent of the current case of Abu Trika. I don't know. But if you look at what is going on, the kind of defense people are mounting is that it is justified that people can be fraudulent. Do you know now? Even I heard recently that they did a raid in one of the suburbs in Accra here, and they caught about 42 prostitutes. And I was reading the commentary, and people said, "Now, so how would the boy survive?" Righteousness. Righteousness is only about being moralist. I'm talking about anything that defiles law and order, and people will cheer it on. Now, election, one of the places that unrighteousness goes on in there. If you want to win, you have to have money, because we have one vote, 1 million. One bicycle, one vote. Some people are taking cars to vote. There's nothing like righteousness over there. You can't do anything righteous that you must compromise to survive. It's like the system of the Babylon. Everybody must bow. So as that case, I don't know. But what I see and I hear is that there is a justification that it is right. And the case that I said, their forefathers stole our gold and our natural resources. But the thing is, even if they stole it, somebody aided them. So now it is time for us to take back what belongs to us. And they said, if the only way to do that is to use. Everybody's expanding in technology. In Africa and West Africa, we are using tech. You see, our advancement in technology is a serious one. We are advances in wickedness. So one of the things that is of great concern in Africa now is issues of cyber security. Are you with me? So when you see things that defiles righteousness, there are some places that you want to go right now. Some of you, see, if you want to enter the movie industry right now, if you don't have a strong one, you'll not go anywhere. Do you know that? Are you aware of that? Because righteousness does not prevail there. So I see. I think that you can spot the horns I'm talking about. These are places some of you want to go, and you want things to be done to you fairly and squarely. Oh, you don't know what you are signing up for. That's why I said, whilst you are praying for anointing, you should know what the anointing is going to do. Are we on the same page? God. The third one. People who rises suddenly to push darkness. When you see that in a place that you are, or where God is leading you to, somebody just rose from nowhere and begins to push the agenda of darkness. There's a horn of wickedness. Most times these things do happen in schools. You'll be there and suddenly a vice chancellor, a dean, somebody from nowhere is put in the place of authority. Then you see that they begin to promote nonsense. Wicked darkness is being promoted. Things that are of darkness, you sponsor them. When you begin to notice that is a horn of what? Wickedness. Horn of what? Wickedness. Do you know that some people, their money only buy alcohol? You don't know. If they are your friend, if you want to use money to do anything silly, they can pay for a woman for you to sleep with. Do all, that's what their money does. But to give you money for anything good, no. When you see such a person in the family, that is a horn of wickedness that has risen. You have to start dealing with it. Hallelujah. Last one. Atmospheric changes. So, you see, when they begin to push things of darkness, what they want to achieve is that they want to spread confusion and spiritual dryness. That's why they do that. Atmospheric changes, such as difficulties in prayer. This one is not because your flesh is taking over you. You know, there's a season or a place you enter. And when you get to that place, it's as if there is some block that has been placed on you. You can't pray. It is so difficult to pray over there. I don't know if you follow what I'm trying to say.
Good.
There can never be unity in that place. You see, when you enter a place that the people can never unite, there's a horn of wickedness there. Confusion is an evidence of horn of wickedness. When you enter a place and you sense these things, difficulty to pray, confusion, division in that place, horn of wickedness. It can be at your office. You know, there's an office that four people are sitting there. Everybody is so careful. Because I'll only be in their office or not. How do we deal with the horn of wickedness? One, let's close. Stay under divine covering first. When you notice that there is a horn of wickedness, the first thing you have to work on is your covering. This is where many Christians becomes your horn of covering is very important. What covers you? Now, in covering, three things are very important. You have to stay in obedience. You have to stay in holiness. Then you have to stay in divine instruction. As I said, horn of wickedness does not answer to emotions. So the moment you notice that there is a horn that has been lifted against you at or where you are, the first thing you have to work on is your covering. You don't confront it first. You have to work on what? So check and make sure that your covering is right. If your covering is not right, you will fail. You will lose the battle. Are you on the same page? Okay, number two. So, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45. The reason why you have to check on your covering is because you don't defeat horns by talent and gift. You defeat them by alignment. You are in alignment with God. Listen to what Samuel said to you. David said to Goliath. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, with javelin, but I come to you in the name of what? The Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have what? The Father." That is an alignment. He chose his alignment. But the Bible said one of the most skillful warriors in Israel then was David. But you see that when he was confronting a horn of wickedness, what did he do? He chose alignment. Alignment is the most important thing. And that is covering. How obedient are you? How much of instruction do you follow? Your holiness, have you worked on it? Number two, stay in your priestly authority before prophetic confrontation. You see, some of you, when you see the horns of wickedness, you want to go and attack quickly. No. You have to be like Elijah. Make sure that you have soaked yourself in your priestly authority. That means that before you confront it physically, you have dealt with it what? You have won the war in the secret place before you come to the public to confront. You see? I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. Some of you, the moment you see, I declare, I do this, then you public confrontation. You think somebody like Archbishop Ajinasari was able to confront Nungokpo publicly? Because do you know the things he has done in the public, in the private? I hope you get my point. Don't go and stand and say that the altar in our family, barrenness, I rebuke you. He will visit you in the night and teach you that yes, he has been there before your four fathers. I hope you get my point. So you have to work on yourself, your priesthood authority. That is where you become what? An altar. So first of all, you have to build your altar first. You have to become an altar. Now you understand why Theophilus have been saying that I have to be the altar of God. When you want to deal with horns of wickedness, you must become an altar. That is priesthood. Do you get it? Huh? So an altar where God, you are a place of residence for God, and then you are a portal, an open place. When you are an altar now you have received what it takes to deal with an altar. So when Elijah was confronting the prophets of Baal, he has already built himself before coming. When you take covering, that's why I said some of you, God will take you through some 4 years, 5 years, because he's building you as an altar. Now when you come an altar, you can cry against another altar. Now when you cry against that altar, you say that altar what? Will fall. Are you on the same page? So you have to do that. Third one, and we close. Speak truth with authority, not anger. Hawks fall when light exposes darkness, and that is truth. When righteousness is stronger than fear. Whenever we see the horn of wickedness fall, it's because light has fallen on darkness. And that is when you speak truth. If ever you want to deal with wickedness, horn of wickedness, you must always make sure that you avoid anger. Don't be emotional. The truth here is where the legal matters come from. This is where you have to master the act of legal issues spiritually. You know, anger can worry your delivery. Do you know that? You have to maintain steeze and composure no matter how the devil is doing. Then you take the matter legally, because the Lord does not answer to emotions. Are you on the same page? So that's how you deal with it. I pray for you. Some of you, there are certain things that you have already been exposed to. It's because of the anointing. It's because of the horn you are growing. Wickedness is at a rise, and wickedness will not stop now. And the reason why God is going to anoint you and exalt your horn is because of what? Wickedness. I want you to lift up your voice and pray in 30 seconds and say, Abba Father, let my horn be exalted against every wickedness. There are altars in your family that has to fall now. There are altars in your family that has to fall. Oh, vele makabasaya. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Some altars must fall. Wickedness must come down. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.